Hello, my name is John Hartman, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship, and I listen to it while enjoying a nice, hot cup of coffee, because coffee in the Word, well, nothing beats that.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study in Bible numerics titled The Number 9 in Scripture. This is part 2 of 2.
Now look at verse 6. Read that with me. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. See, it was the people heard them speak, and it was a real language. Mm-hmm. So another thing that I believe, I get in trouble because I believe if God wants you to speak in tongues, then he'll make you speak in tongues. If you're a spirit-filled Christian and there's a need, there's no need for us to start speaking in tongues. We're all English here. And in most of the charismatic Pentecostal church services where people act like they're speaking, and they are acting, and they act like they're speaking in tongues, there's no purpose in it. There's no need for it. At this time, you're dealing with people who were of different languages. And there was a purpose for it here. It was a sign from God to the Jews. Are there any Jews here today? Most of the charismatic Pentecostal churches you go to, there's no Jews in the room. There's no Jews witnessing it. And so there's no purpose because everybody can understand everybody. There's no Jews there to see the sign. And verse 7 says, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" And what then Paul describes in his epistle to the 1 Corinthians, that the purpose or the result of people who, let's say, do come in and visit, and they see everybody just speaking in unknown tongues, and there's no interpreter, they're going to think you're crazy. And so that's why in our church services, we do not allow someone to get up and speak in tongues unless there's a reason for them to do so. And unless they're speaking in an actual language, and unless there's an interpreter. The Bible says if there's no interpretation, then the person speaking is to be silenced. And none of that's happening today. So the bottom line is, you can have your problems with us because we don't have people standing up and say, then someone in the back stands up, "I have an interpretation. Domino's pizza was wonderful tonight," you know, and all this stuff. It's like, that serves no purpose, but I've been in those church services, that's better than what they do. What they do, a lot of times when they speak in tongues, like, blah, 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 blah. That's not speaking in tongues. That sounds like Ezra. And then the interpretation is something like, "Thus saith the Lord, I am with you always. I will never leave you. I love you," and all that. I can get that out of my King James Bible. They ain't telling me nothing. And that leads to the final point I'll bring up is, when this was going on in Corinth, there was no Bible. They didn't have Bibles. And people like to argue about it, but the Bible says when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. I believe my Bible's perfect.
Amen.
And you don't want to believe that? You go right ahead and get suckered into the nonsense, but we're not. So I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I just don't believe that this modern charismatic movement, this modern Pentecostal movement, has anything at all to do with it. You know what I think you're going to see it really poured out again for real? After the rapture. 144,000 Jews running around speaking in tongues and having interpretations, speaking to people in languages they don't even know. That's when I expect the next charismatic revival to take place. TBN's a joke. Now, as far as the number 9, back to our main point. Are there exceptions? Yes, there are some exceptions where 9 might not refer to fruitfulness. But we've always said this, the exceptions prove the rule, amen? Because the fruitfulness is there consistently, constantly. Once in a while, you might see an exception. But the exception proves the rule. So that's it. That's what I got for 9. I think that's enough. I think that proves the point. Amen? Anybody else think otherwise? You can ask a question in a second. But as we began, we reviewed all 8, and we add to that 9, fruitful. And there's things we could probably have added, I'm sure, in science and math and all that, by the way. But that's, and we mean these Bible numeric studies to be an introduction. Although, I can tell you that not very many people have had the kind of studies we've had going into the depth we've gone into. But with that said, I could have taken and doubled the information on most all of these. But that's enough to prove the point and give you, some people like to say springboard, like my wife, but I like diving board. This is a diving board. Do you dive into the deep end? Get some more, amen? Dive to the bottom of that deep end and get that penny. So we have a few minutes for Q&A. If anybody would like to ask questions about, first of all, let's start with 9. Any questions about 9? Or any comments? Anything else comes to mind? 9 and fruitfulness? I actually, after I bought the pizzas, I thought, man, if I had an extra bit of money to pitch in, I would have bought 9 pizzas. Just to prove the point. Yeah, wow. But
I don't think that would necessarily help.
Well, Johnny, I think you ate 9 pieces, though, didn't you? Just kidding.
How does that connect to being fruitful?
Well,
there was pineapple on some of the pizza.
Pineapple, yeah, yeah.
I noticed that.
And bacon.
That's not.
Look on your face. You and your mom, I love your faces.
Right?
Huh?
Tomatoes are fruit, right?
You say tomato? This is something I wanted to mention. I had talked about tattoos. Can you see that? That's the same person.
Oh, it is? Yeah.
Before and after. And that is going on more than you would think. And she got her eyeballs tattooed and went blind for 4 weeks and then got her vision back. And it is amazing to look at that before and after. And I know several people like that. I know several people I went to school, well, not in the same grade, but people I knew when I was in school who not quite that bad because they haven't got them all over their face, but they are doing like little things. Have you seen them like teardrops and things like that people are putting on their faces? But their bodies are being covered and everything, and it's damaging their liver. And causing other blood problems because the ink has things in it that gets into your blood, leaches into your blood. But that is just an amazing... I tell you, I was telling folks in the group, you cannot tell me that doesn't involve devil possession. It's that somebody has opened themselves up to some serious, dark, spiritual influence. No, that's why I'm saying this again. I never said tattoos are okay. I'm saying that the Bible never says that it's a sin to get a tattoo. The Bible also never says it's a sin to blow your head off. See what I'm saying? We can't stand up here and say, it's wrong to get a tattoo, don't get a tattoo. But when you go to such extremes as this, and you don't even have to go to those extremes, like I said, people are getting them all over their body. So what we tell people is that the Bible, I have to teach what the Bible says. The Bible does not say thou shalt not get tattoos. The Bible says in the Old Testament to the Jews not to cut yourself and put markings of yourself for the dead. but that was under Mosaic law, and it doesn't mention it in the New Testament. For that reason, what you need to do is be informed, like we were talking earlier, get the education, get the information, so that if you see someone getting these tattoos, you can tell them the truth. And the truth isn't tattoos are a sin, because the Bible doesn't say that. But the truth is, there's a connection between especially extreme tattooing and the influence of demonic spirits, devils. And there's also this bad effect to your body. Just real quick, go to Charlie, but vaping is another example. You know, there's nothing, you can't say that vaping is a sin, but people are dying from it. Why? Especially when they add the THC and the flavors. What's that called? Juul or something that sells it? And now, when you just use the vaping pen and there's nothing else mixed to it, there's not a lot of evidence that it's really all that bad for you. But people usually do it because they want to add nicotine, and they've used it to stop smoking. So the only thing you can do in these cases is be informed of the reality that there's something about tattoos that some people get addicted to it. Yeah, Charlie?
So with the whole tattoo thing, it's largely, like, throughout history, it's been a cultural thing that's tied to religions that are occult.
Pagan and
Maori, and then throughout Europe, it was a very occultic thing.
Yeah.
And actually, that's become very, very popular again, is to get those old occult symbols, which they don't even know what they mean. But they know that they're occult symbols, and they like them because they're cool looking.
Yeah.
And people are covering their bodies in these, all these pagan, like, runes.
It just is, there's a connection there between this great apostasy that's taking place, a great falling away, and people getting into all this stuff. That yoga is another one. You know, Jenny was talking about somebody who just was talking about how they were, one of their relatives was teaching them yoga, and he was like, that's not good. Stretching is good. Stretching exercises, you know, and whatever you want to do. But if it's yoga, then they get in. Now, does the Bible say there's anything wrong with yoga? No, not by name. But the Bible tells us to stay away from the dark spirits, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers and all that. And yoga, at some point, you will have meditations and incantations and chants, focusing, imaging, all these things that are Hinduistic. And then tattoos, just happens to be that a lot of the people getting into yoga get tattoos, you know, and the people who get tattoos are into yoga and back and forth. And there's just this, it's an avalanche taking place right now. I mean, the psych meds, where about, I think I'm being very generous in saying 10% of the people on psych meds should be on something because they've had brain injury or something. But 90% of the people on that stuff should not be on it. And it's putting them into an altered state of mind. And then there are a lot of these people who go off into this stuff, and suddenly they're into yoga and they're getting tattoos and they're, you know. It's a, huh?
The psych meds, they get in the altered state.
Yeah. Yeah, the school shooters are almost all into psych meds and tattoos. It's just a spiritual thing, you know? Yeah.
Just another comment on tattoos.
I'm coming to you next.
Another big reason that, like, people I know who have gotten tattoos, it's like commemorating important. Like, you know, like if somebody lost their son.
Yeah. Like they cuttings for the dead.
Right. And so, and it's all those things, it's like those are not things, like a lot of the reasons that people get tattoos are things that as Christians we don't really need to be doing. It's not,
yeah,
it's not going to send you to hell.
Yeah.
But it's something that.
But that's the standard most Christians seem to be setting it. Will it send me to hell? Okay, then I'm going to do it.
But it just shows.
Is that really a good standard?
Your mental state is not in the right place.
Yeah. And Paul said all things are lawful, remember? But not all things are. And so I'd put tattoos in there. And meaning that there's no hard, fast law in the New Testament that says you won't do this. But should you? You know? So, and you, Jenny Lynn, are next.
I'm Jenny Lynn here to ask, why are Bible numerics important to know?
Well, I mentioned that earlier on. That there's something about learning the Bible that makes you learn more of the Bible. So, just for starters, Jesus said we should live by every word. And that includes the numbers. And so then if you read those numbers and you don't have that connection, then you read right past it. But if you have that connection, for example, obvious example, we were talking about the number 7.
Yeah.
And the number 6, when we talk about the mark of the beast being three sixes. You know, those things, learning Bible numerics will help you understand the Bible as you read the Bible and you see the numbers. Yeah.
The thing that popped into my head is just like the whole, like I didn't realize until you taught it years ago, but the parallel between the olive branch and like olive trees and Israel. It's like a lot of time, it's not every time that an olive tree is mentioned.
Yeah.
It's necessarily the case, but it's something that's like when you're reading a scripture, and you know these other associations throughout the scripture that can help deepen your understanding and pick up additional stuff.
And another example, a lot of these days you have a lot of these goofballs are out there trying to tell people the Trinity's pagan. And they say because the Catholic Church believes the Trinity, it makes it wrong. And Tertullius taught the Trinity before the Catholic Church existed. And the Bible teaches that there are three that bear record, the Father, Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one. Not three gods, but three persons in the one Godhead. And then if you learn Bible numerics, you see that God's fingerprint in threes are everywhere. And you are a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. And in a lot of people, you know, it just comes like a package deal. If you accept things that are taught that are correct, like the number three, and what it you see in throughout creation, and yeah, we had a list. Go back and watch the number three if you haven't seen that, and you'll see. And that's kind of like God's fingerprint on everything: the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three in one, and that three is like got fingerprints all over creation. And so it's the Bible and just a better understanding of God's creation and God's plan. And the number 7, go into the book of Revelation and all the sevens you see there. And when you realize it is signifying God is doing thing in sevens as the number of completion or perfection. So I would pitch Bible numerics in that way, but I'd encourage you study it. And the more you learn, the more you'll see the usefulness of Bible numerics. Johnny?
I would mention as far as, you know, what they're complaining about the Trinity, but I'd venture to say just about any complaint you can make connected to the Catholic Church doesn't count, because I seem to, because from what Catholic Church is pretty much like, you know, 100% counterfeit of Christianity.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be kind of the whole point. They use so many of the same terms, the same images, same ideas, but it's all pagan.
Yeah. We have our Holy Father. They have their Holy Father in Rome. Yeah. Ours is in heaven. They have a Jesus that they claim to believe is from the Bible, but the Jesus in the Bible was not subject to his mother the way the Roman Catholic Jesus is. They have a Mary, but she's not the Mary of the Bible. She's the Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah talks about the Queen of Heaven, but he's not talking about Mary. He's talking about a goddess being worshipped. And so over and over, you're right, Johnny, when you look, pointing at the Roman Catholic Church and saying, well, they do this, so it must be wrong. No, they counterfeit everything. They've counterfeited the Trinity. They've tried to throw Mary in there, actually, and make her co-redemptrix. So it's a mess. But just because the Catholic Church does something doesn't mean it's wrong, though. And there are people who think that it's wrong for us to meet in a building like this, especially when we have a pulpit and pews. Why? Because the Roman Catholic churches have some of the same things. And it's it doesn't make it wrong just because the Roman Catholic Church does something. And the Roman Catholic Church believes, in their statement of faith, they do believe the Bible is the Word of God. They just don't believe it's the final authority. And they add to it tradition. So we don't do that because they're wrong. But when a Catholic says, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, I'm not going to disagree with them just because they're Catholic. And so that is related to your comment there. But as far as the number three in Bible numerics, though, it's just an amazing thing once you start really looking into it and studying it. And with no reflection on the person who asked the question, I'll close with this remark and say it again, that what we're dealing with today is people don't really want to learn the Bible. What we face constantly with people who visit, people who contact our ministry, people even online, they'll show up for a little while and be gone. The people are not really interested in learning the Bible. What they're hoping to find is like teachings that are going to excite them, or, you know, give them, like we said, warm fuzzies. But a lot of people like horror flicks. So they're, you know, some people are into slasher films and that kind of thing. Well, there's a bunch of Christians like that. And they just like to, if every week I preached on the end of the world and, you know, stuff like that, they love it.
Go from emotion to emotion.
Yeah. But if you just say, okay, this week we're going to act like mature Christians and we're going to just study the Bible, to me it's not boring. But to a lot of Christians, the Bible's boring. And I can tell you, the problem isn't the Bible. The problem's with that person. There are a lot of them. And so Bible numerics, if you really love the Word of God and you're really Spirit-filled Christian, you want to learn the Word of God, you get into Bible numerics, it's a pretty neat thing as you study it. All right, let's go ahead and stand and close.
Yeah. That's a wonderful old song, isn't it?
Yeah.